solidarity. Welcome, one and all, to another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question apparently. There are occasions on this show, in fact they seem to be happening more regular than often because for some reason my somewhat fabulous producer is just so marvelous that he manages to get the people who are, in my opinion, some of the greatest minds that walk the earth today, some of the greatest talents, and some of the most experienced and certainly honourable individuals that this earth has ever produced. This is, of course, just my opinion, based upon the fact that I'm a talk radio junkie. Now, for those of you who are unaware of George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM, he has been in the radio industry for a very long time and has an immense amount of knowledge into the, well, basically the comings and goings of the world, because Coast to Coast AM has between something like 19 or 29 million listeners a night, some 5 nights a week when George is hosting, and he interviews the most incredible people, is always so humble and has such grace that we just had to get him on the show. And in my understanding, he's there on the line. George, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Vinnie, my pleasure to be on the program with you. And I got to tell you, your executive producer, Mitch, is phenomenal. I'm going to try to steal him away from you. I mean, he doesn't let go. He says, we want you on this program. And he wouldn't take no for an answer.
That sounds exactly like my somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel.
Absolutely. And by the way, I hope everybody down in your neck of the woods, that they're all doing well following all the catastrophic weather conditions that you've had down there over the last several months. We've had a lot of them here in this country, too, specifically in the Midwest. I broadcast between Los Angeles and St. Louis in the United States, so I'm constantly going back and forth. And I was in St. Louis a few months ago when a tornado almost literally took out the St. Louis International Airport, and then I came back to Los Angeles, and of course we had that tragedy in Joplin, Missouri that took so many lives. But I trust everybody in New Zealand is patching their lives back in order.
Well, it is as everybody reacts to a disaster, the community suddenly becomes a lot closer, don't you think? We forget about each other almost entirely and, almost pretend that there's nobody there. But when a disaster happens, suddenly everybody pours out of their houses and becomes a massive support network that blossoms out of nothing.
You're right, Vinny. Even more so than governments. I think governments sometimes are at a loss at how to take care of people during tragedies. We saw what happened during Hurricane Katrina here in the United States. And government just was not prepared for this. They did not know what to do, and hopefully they've learned lessons from that. FEMA reacted a little quicker when the tornadoes hit in the Midwest a few weeks ago. But I think most support will come from your neighbors, you know, people who can pick up and help you and band together as almost like family. And I think that's what's going to happen on this planet in the years to come as we face so many other large potential catastrophes. I think it's going to be your neighbors, your friends, people who will congregate together that will be there for all of us during what I sadly believe will be some tough times.
Well, I think it's the solution to the largest problems are always with the smallest thought, and the smallest community can make the biggest difference. And in my opinion, I think that's the power of the human spirit, is we can overtake and override any cacophony of simultaneous crises that is being thrown at us. I mean, to my mind, we currently have the oil price crisis, and it's just a manipulated price, so let's not talk about a shortage here just yet. and we have the massive derivatives financial mega crisis, We have the Libyan crisis, the Japanese Fukushima nuclear crisis, which is soon going to escalate into a cancer crisis worldwide, as currently virtually the entire Pacific is now contaminated. We have the food shortage crisis to add to that during the massive fires and floods around the Pakistan-Russia area. That's a lot of wheat and a lot of rice that is no longer on the market. All the freeze-dried food major manufacturers are on something like 8-month waiting lists, you know, for major orders, you know, and this turns out to be the plan of the globalist all along, to make sure that there is so much chaos coming at all of us from every conceivable direction that it paralyzes us. And in my opinion, when you're in that situation where you're being attacked from every direction, you have to adopt a tactical approach, and I call it the tactic of the cactus. You cover yourself with spines, small communities, patriots in those communities, and that way whenever an enemy attack comes in on you, you can attack back, okay? Hitler didn't win World War II because he fought a war on two fronts. You know, nobody can win a war on two fronts. And the New World Order is trying to fight a war with the whole of humanity. So they're going to be fighting a war on a billion fronts.
And what's even more difficult, Vinny, is trying to determine who that enemy is. During World War I, World War II, you knew who the enemies were. They were nations. But nowadays, you don't know who they are. We don't know exactly who these New World Order folks are. We have our suspicions. But we don't see how they react. You know, we said a long time ago on our program, Coast to Coast AM, that if terrorism went away, that those that are trying to take over factions of this planet, they would create terrorism just to keep us at edge. And so that's what's so difficult about all this. It's trying to pinpoint who they are, when they're going to strike, what their little plan is next in order to create chaos on this planet. Chaos that we see every day, as you just pointed out.
Well, it's like when you think that there's nothing to worry about, they'll make something for you to worry about, because as soon as everybody suddenly feels calm and at peace and happy and they're not stressed out and afraid anymore, they start thinking, are these scumbags running my government or what?
They want us to get down on our knees and beg them to protect us. They want us to be able to say, we need you, save us, please, get us food, get us water, get us shelter, protect us from the evil empires. And if they think they can put us in that position, they have us. We'll go along our merry way, we'll go to work, we'll come home, we'll watch our telly, we'll listen to the radio, and we won't create waves. And that's the position they want to get all of us in. And they're doing a pretty good job trying to do that. One of the things we continue to battle about on our radio program every night is it's not all what you think. And not everything's a conspiracy, believe me. But there are a lot of things going on in this planet that are unexplainable, that are manipulative, and we try to keep an eye out for it. And thank God we've been able to keep doing it.
Yeah, my opinion is that not everything's a conspiracy, just most things.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. So you always have to be aware of it. And I've always told myself, who benefits when something happens? Regardless of what it is, always look at who benefits, and then you might be able to come up with a pretty good idea of how it started, what created it.
Mm-hmm. The difficulty seems to me is that people, for some reason, they look to others for solutions. And in my opinion, when you talk about solutions of a global scale, again, thinking smaller, the solution stares you in the mirror every morning when you have a shave.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We need to take care of our own situation. We need to create our own little islands, take care of the people we care about, and hopefully that'll start branching out. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But until then, you cannot depend on government. You cannot depend on these other organizations or groups, because they have their own mindset. They know what they want to do. And the best way of taking care of yourself, whether it's in a crisis situation or anything, is just to be prepared and to be smart about it. And I've always advised people, you know what? It's not unwise to have some storable food on hand, to have some drinking water put away, to have some supplies put away to last you for a few weeks or a month. We're all in this together. There's no doubt about that. But be prepared a little bit. Be smart about things. And be aware. Be aware of episodes that are still occurring. Here we are in Afghanistan, still in the United States. Here we are in Iraq. Our mission was to go in and get Osama bin Laden. Well, apparently we did now, 10 years later. Why are we still there? I just don't understand it.
Is there any reason why we went in there in the first place is more my question. And now that the CIA seems to have found a great place to grow copious quantities of heroin poppies, and the U.S. soldiers are photographed guarding these fields because, oh, if we don't grow and ship the heroin, the enemy might.
There's no question.
The Taliban
was once the Mujahideen, an organization we supported years ago to get the Soviets out of Afghanistan. Well, afterwards, what were so-called friends became friends no longer, and this problem started, and then bin Laden, of course, went to Afghanistan, and they started protecting him and al-Qaeda, and this entire mess started. I mean, I still have questions, for example, about 9/11, who exactly was responsible for it. I'm pretty sure bin Laden was part of it. There's no doubt about that in my mind, but I think there were others involved with him that wanted to create this mess, this chaos that we're all in. We still here in this country find it very strange and unusual that they never showed the body. They dumped it at sea very quickly. There's just a lot of things that just don't sound right. And what's so amazing about people, Vinny, is they forget. They forget very fast. And, I mean, here we are. We've been in Iraq since 2003. We've been in Afghanistan since 2001, and not a lot of people in this country are upset about that. It's almost as if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. And, you know, if you don't know what's going on 3 miles from where you live, unless you haven't been told about it, you don't know what's going on. And that's what's happening with these wars. Most people in the United States are unaffected by it. Most people don't even know any soldiers that are over there giving their lives for this. And until people really realize, you know what, folks, we're still over there. Our mission was to go get bin Laden. We did now. Why are we still there? So it just, to me, sounds like there's another purpose. There's a bigger thing going on, whether it's to get the Iraqi oil, whether it's to control other certain strategic areas of this planet. There's much more going on than the original intent that we were all told about a long time ago. When we went into Iraq in 2003, weapons of mass destruction. We've got to take Saddam Hussein out, whom this country supported a long time ago when he was at battle with the Iranians and everything else. And you know what? We're still there. It just doesn't make sense.
A land of perpetual war. It's very 1984.
It came a little late, but you're right. George Orwell would be turning over in his grave right now. If he could see what was happening, he'd say, I knew it. I knew it. He was just way ahead of his time. That's all.
Well, perhaps instead, this plan has been laid out for a very, very long time, since long before the works of George Orwell, and he was simply trying to warn everybody about what was planned.
If there's a plan, and I'm pretty sure there is, there's no question that it was sketched out many, many, many years ago. These things just don't happen. These are blueprints, and blueprints are schematics of buildings of life, and that's exactly what happened. These architects of the future paved this thing out. They sketched it out. They designed it. They knew when they were going to implement certain things. And they're doing it. It's almost like a playbook for a football game. The coach knows exactly what he's going to do next, and that's what they're doing to us.
Well, and that's why so many red flags get raised. Whenever some media spectacle, it doesn't matter what the media spectacle is, comes up on the television, I am instantly suspicious. For example, the May 1st apocalypse, I thought to myself, PSYOP.
Well, of course, now it's been moved to October 21st. So who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Of course it has.
and we find out things that families have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to these organizations. The money's gone. They're upset. They don't know why they weren't raptured away. And, you know, darn if they're not doing it all over again. I mean, it's criminal. It really is.
Well, it's criminal. It's in fact, we had a show yesterday about psychopathy and what's inside the mind of a psychopath. How they cannot be trusted to do anything right at all, because even if you strike an alliance with them, they will still betray you. They will still take everything from you. And the American Medical Journal says that the kind of psychopaths that are running the country or whatever seem to be concentrated in business, media, and politics. Now, you've been in the media field for quite some time. How many people have you met that have these symptoms? Very nice and personable when you meet them, but has no real depth to their character and no real long-lasting relationships.
They are professionals at what they do, Vinny. They know how to manipulate. They know how to sell. They know how to wheel people in, and that's what they do. And it's very difficult for us, when you meet them, to say, hey, that's one of these Illuminati types, or that's one of these New World Order folks. But they're out there. They're out there all the time. And I think we all need to be very aware of just what's going on and what the effort is to control all of us.
Indeedy doody. These are the most important questions that you have to be asking, ladies and gentlemen. My very special, remarkable, and quite frankly, this is the best day of my life, guest George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one like me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There's nobody like you, and there's nobody like me. We're all perfect, unique representations of ourselves, experiencing everything subjectively through a fabulous fishbowl vision that gets distorted through mainstream media. And isn't it nice to know that they care so much about how our condition progresses that they would spend hundreds of billions of dollars on fake newscasts and a BS spreading out all over the airwaves, which they've turned into things that you have to pay for. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. This being the day of the most fabulous guest I've ever had on the show, George Norrie's appearance. Like one of those people who you need to make up a title for, like Sir or Grandmaster of the Microphone, George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back from break.
Vinny, just plain old George is good enough for me. That's all. I have, in all my years of broadcasting, when I started at 19, I realized at a very early age that some of the most successful broadcasters were the ones that treated their listeners, their audience, their viewers like people. And you never look down to people. Respect them. When we take phone calls from listeners, I give them their fair shake. They don't get screamed at. They don't get hung up on. And it's made a huge difference to the program. Right now, we are on 545 radio stations in North America. We're on XM satellite. We stream worldwide by going to coasttocoastam.com for a little less than 25 cents a day, which covers our bandwidth costs. And it's growing. Like you said, the audience level, it's in the millions every day. And people are just looking at us. They're looking at shows like yours for the truth. That's all they want. They want nothing more, nothing less. They just want people to tell them the truth, and we can handle it. It was that old Jack Nicholson movie where he said, you can't handle the truth. I think people can once they're told what's going on. we're finding out every day that people have their own belief systems. They just want to be told the truth. They're tired of being lied to by government.
Well, that is a universal concept. Because in my experience, being from New Zealand, the other side of the world, the exact same things that are going on in America that all patriots are concerned about, a violation of constitutional rights, all these draconian laws being put in, police state measures, the same things are happening here in New Zealand. And in some cases, like the search and surveillance bill, it is almost word for word what's in the Patriot Act.
No, there's no question. Of course, our Patriot Act was just extended again. So, you know, we're stuck with that thing for a while. And, you know, just everything just seems to be changing and being whittled away. There's a tremendous uproar now about the body scanners that we have in this country. I don't know. Do you have them out that way where they
We
undress
you? Just had them introduced. And the person who syndicates my show in the South Island of New Zealand, he called me up in a panic saying, Vinny, did you hear about this? Is this true? And had a look at it. Sure enough, now we've got naked body scanners in New Zealand, which has never had a terrorism attack. In fact, the biggest terrorist incident we had here was perpetrated by the police on a town of not less than 2,000 people when they arrested and broke in the dawn raids.
Somebody had sent me an email calendar of Miss Airport of 2012, and every month they had a skeleton of a woman just standing around posing as if they had gone through these machines. It was hilarious. I think what people need to realize, if you fly a lot and you go through these a lot, you have the potential of getting some kind of radiation poisoning. I mean, it's just a matter of time before your body accumulates too much. Yeah, you've ever noticed, for example, when you go to a doctor's office or to the dentist and they have to x-ray your body or your mouth, they run out of the room pretty darn fast, and they don't come back until the machine stops working. You know what? That tells you something just there.
When you think about it, how many things are there currently in existence that people do in their daily lives that are poisonous? When you really think about it, is there anything in your daily life that you use or do that isn't poisonous?
I think when you wake up and start breathing in the morning, Vinny, it's poisonous. I mean,
you're still asleep.
It's everywhere. You've got to be careful what you drink. I'm opposed to the fluoride that we put in the water here in the United States. Even though now the government has said we've got a little too much in it, let's start reducing it. Those things have to be changed. We still have a tremendous dispute about what chemtrails might be. These are things that jets are, dropping down on people from above. Some people say, nah, that's only just, contrails from jets, not to worry. Other people say, no, there's something else going on. It's weather manipulation, or they're spraying us for some reason. Who knows? What I do know is you wake up in the morning, if it's a clear sky day, by the end of the afternoon, the place looks like a tic-tac-toe board everywhere. So something's going on. People just are too suspicious of everybody, and there's good reason to be.
Well, suspicion is healthy in a certain way. Especially if you're being lied to, especially if you're being conned. Suspicion can save you from being ripped off. Suspicion can save you from being imprisoned. Because when you think about it, not only are our environments totally toxic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're ingesting some kind of poison that's been injected into our environment for some auspicious and very utilitarian reason. And when I think about it, it's not only that, but because the population itself is ingesting all these poisons, George, I think that they have become toxic to other people as well. Now, in your experience, do you experience a lot of discrimination or haranguing or any of that really negative feedback that comes from when you tell the truth and tell it at a very large level as you do on Coast to Coast?
Not on the program. Most of our listeners and the tremendous majority of our callers are very supportive of the issues that we handle on the program. And they are believers that, under every rock there's a mystery. And so they are not that suspicious of the program at all. What they are suspicious of are the things we talk about, because they don't trust many things, whether it's from government, corporations, you name it. They just don't trust it. And let me tell you something, Vinny, for good reason. I mean, we've been lied to. We've been used since the beginning of time. And the problem with all that is, it's like the story of the boy who cried wolf. He cries wolf so many times that when a real problem arises, people don't believe him. And I think that's going to be the case here, for example. I don't think people believe that, for example, the H1N1 virus that they scared the world about a few years ago, that it was going to be a pandemic, which ended up being nothing. If this planet truly gets hit with a virus, and, for example, in Europe right now, they're scratching their heads over this E. coli situation, and they have no idea where it's coming from, vegetables or what. But if a real episode occurs on this planet, people aren't going to believe them anymore, and that's a tragedy.
That kind of sounds a lot like when, was it H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds, when it was broadcast on radio. It was a great psyop because they realized that everybody just sat there glued to the television, glued to the radio for the information. And when you think back, 9/11, what were you doing on 9/11 after you found out? What were you glued to?
Everybody was glued to the television. They were locked in or turning to the radio to hear news and information. They were in awe. They were in shock. They panicked. They didn't know what would happen. And people were scared. And again, I think that's so important for people to realize that, you know, if you've been misled, just be aware, because there could be some real episodes that occur and you just need to be ready for it. The one thing I've always said, Vinny, we're all in this together. I mean, we're not alone. And this planet now is so small technologically, we're all interconnected. I mean, something could happen here in Los Angeles, you'll know about it where you are in an instant. That never happened before. That was unheard of. Now, when Michael Jackson died, the world knew about it within minutes. And that'll happen again if there's another tragedy.
It seems that when we talk about the news, have you noticed how it's almost tragedy after tragedy in 30-second segments, and now this tragedy, and now that tragedy, and you forgot what was the last tragedy that we went through? So your entire life is just a mere experience watching television of tragedies that you forget and watch them repeat.
I used to tell an old news director of mine when I was in my early 20s, why do we always lead with these tragedies? Why do we always lead with, you know, problems? Why don't we ever have a story at the top of our newscast about something good that happened during the day? Something wonderful that happened. And he said, well, because that's not news. And he moved on. Well, later on in life, as I got to be old enough to run some of my own TV stations and things, we changed that a little bit. And you know what? A funny thing happened. Our viewers liked it. Our ratings started going up. People wanted wholesome information, of course, but they also wanted to feel good about themselves and about the day. So we started doing a lot more things like that, stories that would affect people in a positive way, whether it was their health or their own ability to do things subconsciously. We started doing a lot of that, and that has been the evolution of this program. We'll handle the tragedies, of course. You have to. You know, we're a news organization as well as a talk show. But we'll also do a lot of things that will affect people, whether it's spirituality, life after death. I've got a book coming out with my co-author, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, in October called Talking to the Dead, about the ability of technology to eventually deal, and there's some stuff out there now that they claim does work, to communicate with people who've passed on. And what a wonderful thing one day if we had the real capability of turning on some kind of an apparatus to talk to our good old grandmother who died and just say, what's it like over there, and have her talk back to you. Energy is the same, and it never leaves. And there's lots of things going on in this universe that I find fascinating. But that's what we've done. We've evolved the program to deal with a lot of these subjects, and it touches people's nerves. And, you know, you have to judge your barometer of success not by money, but by your audience. And ours continues to grow.
Well, therefore, you seem to be, in my opinion, on the cutting edge of what radio should have been doing for the last 30 years. But instead, what's been happening is larger corporations have been amalgamating and vacuous, know-nothing tramps, more or less, appear to be the quote-unquote mainstream media. But the problematic thing with that is that their approval ratings are so low and their viewer numbers are so low in comparison to the shows that are getting out true, real information. And indeed, you're officially, what, the second, or have you surpassed Rush Limbaugh now as the most popular talk radio show host in America?
Well, I'd love to say we're the most popular, but in terms of size, we're the second largest affiliated radio show in the country, right under Rush. And, you know, we keep growing at the rate of 5 stations every month or so. And you know what? If we keep this pace up, one day we will be number one and surpass them. And then we'll let the world know that in a big way. But I'll let you in on a secret, Vinny, on what I've done to program this program and why it has worked so well. I talk to people. Wherever I go, whether it's a speaking engagement or out to a restaurant or out to a nightclub or whatever I do when I'm not working on my weekend, I will get feedback from people on what's going on in their life. And that's how I program the show. So if somebody tells me, you know what, I'm getting my house foreclosed on next week, I don't know what to do, that ends up being a topic. If another person says, my best friend just died last week, I don't know if he's on the other side or not, that becomes a topic. And so I've let people program the program, and they did it without even knowing about it.
It's the chair without a craftsman.
Exactly.
What I find it is that if you allow things to happen as they happen, they go off really, really well because it feels natural and organic. And believe it or not, I truly believe that that's exactly what people want. People want a place where they can feel happy, respected, and even intimate. And that's what I find about your interviews with some of these brilliant people, George, is that the conversations are very intimate, like two old friends sitting down over a cup of coffee and talking about what they think is most important in the world to them at that moment.
You know, for the first 15 minutes or so during an interview with someone that I generally have never met, you're absolutely right. I want to talk to them about their life, what they do, what their likes are, their dislikes. I think it gives the audience a better feel for who we're talking to. And I joke with them, and we kid, and we do some silly things. And, you know, it makes them at ease. They're not as stilted as they would normally be on a different kind of a program. And it works for me. And, you know, and then we evolve into why they're on and what the story is, and it flows, and we take phone calls from listeners, and it flows real well. It's a four-hour live program every night. Most stations run it for 5 hours, so it's pretty intense.
And speaking of pretty intense, you've got some intense advertisements coming up right now, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
It's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back to the show that's all about a little bit of history repeating. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. On this show, we try to give coverage to all of those voices that normally get censored out of the mainstream media. Those whose researchers and activists who spend their lives researching, debating, and getting into the real ugly issues, and some of the real bright ones too, to bring the real story to you. My very special guest is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back from break, George.
Thank you, Vinny. Good to be with you. And how quickly the time flies, huh?
Well, as the old saying goes, time flies when you're having fun. And this is something that when you described how the way that you ran your show and the way that it became so successful is because you kind of give a platform to all of these great people and you try to be friendly with them. And basically, that's it sounded like you were describing the way I'm running my show. You have to have fun and you have to make people feel special because they are. And so many people are hard on themselves and they get a lot of criticism and sometimes they just really want to just reveal themselves to the world and not want to be judged for it. That's when you get the best stories out of people, I think.
Absolutely. Vinny, we will make people laugh. We'll make people think. We'll make people cry. We'll make people engaging. It's all of the above and much more. And you know where I'm coming from. You're doing the same thing on your radio program. You need to just touch the nerves of people, common people on this planet who have the same goal. And let me tell you what that goal is. It is to enjoy your life, enjoy the people you love, and to at least have some fun doing it. That's all we want. Nothing more, nothing less. And prepare yourself, if you believe in the hereafter, so you can be a good person. You don't have to be particularly religious. I'm more spiritual than religious. I was raised a Catholic. I haven't been to Catholic church in years, but I believe in God, and I'm good to people. And that's all that really matters. And, you know, if you put all these ingredients together, you'll have a happy life. Yes, we're human beings. We are subject to the ups and downs in life. You'll get sick. You won't feel good. You know, bad lady luck will run against you sometimes. But I think if you can continue to pick yourself up, keep moving forward, and just don't stop and never look back, you'll be fine. You know, learn from your mistakes. Making mistakes, that's healthy as far as I'm concerned. But just keep going and keep going the right way. And your life will change dramatically for that. I've seen it happen to people who are skeptics, who are doubters. They started changing, and they are as happy now in their life as they've ever been. I'll tell you a funny story of a guy who called me on my local show when I was doing it back in 1998 in St. Louis, Missouri. He called me up one day and said, you know what? I was getting very close to committing suicide. I was done. You know, I had a lousy job. I had just broken up with my girlfriend. Things weren't going well for me. And so I got in a car, and I just didn't know where I was going to contemplate going, where I was going to die, where I was going to kill myself. So I kept driving and driving and driving. I must have driven 100 miles, George, and I saw this little pond on the side of the freeway, and I saw ducks coming in and out of it. So I decided, you know what? That's a great place to do this. So I pulled over on the side of the road. I was sitting on this little bench watching the ducks, and a little old man came by. He was wearing coveralls, and he sat down next to me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't do myself in with this guy here. But we kept talking. And he was talking to me about his life, and he was asking me questions about mine. And I told him, and he fixed it. He helped me with my life. He just made me more inspired. And I got back in my car. And back I went to my hometown. I got a new job. I got a new relationship. I got healthy. I started eating well. I dropped some weight. And I feel great about myself. And I'm calling you right now, George, to tell you my life has changed 100%. I decided to go back into that town about a year later and thank that old man. I never got his last name. So I went to this town barber shop. I figured it's a little tiny city of 1,000 people. It's the only barber shop. The old guy's got to go there. I walk in and I ask the barber, hey, there was this old guy I met about a year ago, and, you know, I want to meet him again. I have to thank him. I didn't get his last name. This was his first name. The barber said, hey, go to the top of the hill. There's a little white house there. Go talk to his daughter. And, you know, George, he said, by the way the barber was talking to me, I thought something had happened, but I went up to the house. I knocked on the door. And some girl came, and I said, excuse me, but I just wanted to talk to your father because, you know, he saved my life about a year ago. And before I was even able to say anything else, she stopped me. And she said, you know what? You're the fifth person to come up here and tell me that about my dad. He died 15 years ago. And it was so chilling the way he said that. It just stopped me in my tracks. And I realized at that time that life is just so precious to enjoy every moment of it. And that's what we try to convey on the program every day.
Now, you got given, speaking of acts of God or great fortune, whatever you want to call it, the legendary Art Bell handpicked you to host Coast to Coast AM. How did it feel at that moment?
It was an interesting situation, and I tell you, when you talk about the use of the subconscious, I first heard Art in 1996, and I said to myself, gosh, one day when I grow up, I'd like to be able to fill in for that guy and do that program. A couple years later, after concentrating on Art and the people and the show, I got a call from the person who was running the program. And he said, look, Art's going on vacation. Would you like to do some fill-in work? We've heard all about you. You're doing similar shows. We've heard your tapes. And I said, of course. So I started filling in for Art, Vinny, on a regular basis. His health started to drastically change. I started doing more programs than I ever thought I would, still doing my local show in St. Louis as well. So many nights I was on the air for 8 or 9 hours live, locally and on the network. And then one day back in 2002, Art decided he was going to quit, and I took over full-time that January of 2003. And so it's been 11 years plus, and I'm just going to keep going until one day I come back from a commercial and my producer says, George has passed on. He's not with us anymore.
We'll be right back.
That's right. That's the way I want to go out.
Yeah, absolutely. Go out to the thunderous applause of your listeners. But this is the thing: when you are in the position where you really can do some good in this world by getting out information. We had a contact from one of our listeners that said that they were going to commit suicide, and then they heard my show, and everything changed.
And it is one of the greatest feelings, and you know that if you can help one person by doing what you do on the air, everything else is worth it. Everything you go through, the time, the hours, the sacrifices you make. You know, I'm on late night, and you have to make a lot of sacrifices for not being with family, what it does to a relationship. But when you're able to help at least one person and truly know that in your heart, all the things that you go through in your personal life are worth it.
That's absolutely true. When I started on American Freedom Radio, I was on it from 3 till 5 a.m. in the morning, and it was terrible for my partner. So, you know, it's like you're doing the dream, and when you're living your dreams, you don't need much sleep.
No, you don't. And then, I know a lot of people in the military listen to us, our program, and I'm sure they hear yours too. I spent 9 years in the Navy. I do want to say that our fighting men and women across this planet are just doing a magnificent job. I wish, of course, politicians weren't controlling as much as they are. But as far as our soldiers are concerned, as we just came off of a Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. Without them, I would not be around to be able to talk to you freely on this radio, on this telephone, and we owe them all a gratitude.
And observing Memorial Day, when I remember the fallen that have fallen over there, as is the expression, it's just kind of this arrogant, it's not here, so it must be somewhere else that I can't name or locate on a map for a lot of Americans. And that's the problem that we have in our society, is that when we lose our loved ones, when we see death and destruction, it's always somewhere else. And we don't realize that it's because of us that it happens. God doesn't make the world this way. We do. Via our apathy or via allowing the evildoers to go unchecked, we are to blame and we have to be responsible. My very special guest is George Norrie, and we'll be right back after these very short messages. Back in a moment. Check us out at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com, our fabulous archives there. Also join us in the chat room. We'll be right back, folks.